Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
702 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. We have Sue Schilling on the updates tonight. Coming up around the bottom of the hour, Tucker vs. the Dancer for week number 10, as week 10 starts tonight in the NFL. So we will do that as Tucker goes head-to-head from one of our friends from Cheerleaders, head-to-head in NFL picks, three games. They'll go and battle to see who is better. And so far this year, I don't have the standings in front of me. I'm just going to say, I do this every week. I redo the standings. Tucker is losing, and our friends from Cheerleaders are winning. That'll be the bottom of the hour. Your phone calls until then, 888-729-9494. Here's where I want to start. It's kind of a continuation off of last night's Rights to Ricky Sanchez show and our conversation about Carson Wentz. And then today I'm driving in, and I keep hearing my name getting ripped on Marks and Reese, which isn't anything new. But the conversation today kind of jumped off of what we talked about last night with Spike here, which was Ben Simmons, and the idea of eventually the Sixers having to trade Ben Simmons away if he does not show some sort of improvement. Now, that improvement cannot come tomorrow because he's out. He has a shoulder issue and an AC joint sprain. Hopefully this is a short injury. Hopefully he comes back quickly, and he starts to show us some real improvement on his game. Otherwise, this team's ceiling will continue to, they'll hit it, and they will not get to the finals, won't win the finals unless he changes his game in a significant way. But, you know, we did the show last night, and there was, you know, I felt like we had some people on both sides with the reaction. And then today we posted it on WIP's Twitter page and Facebook page. The reaction was not both sides. It was more of, oh my goodness gracious, how could you ever think about trading away Ben Simmons? Oh my God. No, never, never, ever, ever could you say those words, trading away Ben Simmons. And I want to make it clear again, I don't want to trade away Ben Simmons. I like Ben Simmons. He does a lot of really good things on a basketball court. And if he improves his game, I'd love to have him for a Sixer for his entire career. But I'll say what I said last night. I'll say what I said, thought today. This is not about Ben Simmons. It's not about Ben Simmons getting criticized too much. It's not about Carson Wentz getting criticized too much, or Joel Embiid, or Rhys Hoskins, or whoever else. The perspective I always bring is me as a fan to the team, not the player. And here's what I believe, and I believe it stronger every day, that in this city, we are become too protective of the player and too sensitive about the player, and we push away what's best for the team. None of this stuff happens in a vacuum. Ben Simmons and his game and his trajectory and his career doesn't happen in a vacuum. It is not criticism of Ben Simmons to say, you know, if the Sixers explore trading him, they may find a better piece that helps the team win more. I'm going to be frank with you. I could care less about Ben Simmons. I can care less about Carson Wentz. I can care less about Joel Embiid, Rhys Hoskins. Guess what they all are? They're all temporary. They're all players that will be here, hopefully most of them for a long time, and will get to enjoy their careers because they're all good to great players. But they're not the franchises. The franchises are the Eagles and the Sixers and the Flyers and the Phillies. Those are what stands. And that's what I care about. Those teams winning. This is just my philosophy on everything in sports. It doesn't matter who you are. I would trade anyone to make the team better. So if that means having a conversation about Ben Simmons, I'll have it every night until he improves his game. Because I don't see how they win with him playing the way he's played so far this season. Win anything special. So here's what I believe. I'll say statements I believe. Yes, the Sixers should think about trading Ben Simmons if he doesn't grow, if he doesn't show exponential growth in how he plays the game. Yes, Joel Embiid needs to grow up if the Sixers are going to be champions. Yes, Carson Wentz needs to play better if the Eagles are going to go to the playoffs this year. And yes, the Phillies should consider trading Rhys Hoskins this offseason for a high-end young arm. I'll say all those things every night. 888-729-9494. I want your reaction to that, because, and really your reaction to this. I believe we're too protective now. We've swung so far in the, oh, we have to protect our stars thing, that I just think we sound collectively silly. Like, we can't have conversations about what's best for these teams because we like these players so much. I don't get it. Is it because you bought a jersey? Is it because we were told these guys were going to be great? I don't understand where this mentality has come from, but it drives me crazy because it's not about Ben Simmons. It's not about Joel Embiid. It's about the Sixers. If they're the ones that are here for the parade that happens on Broad Street one day, great. Great. But as of today, as of right now, none of the young stars in the city have accomplished anything to warrant the kind of just never-ending support that I hear for them. None of them. You know, we're not talking about Chase Utley after a World Series. We're not talking about Brian Dawkins after a decade of dominance and earning our respect week after week, game after game, play after play for a decade on what then was the best, you know, run the Eagles have ever had. We're not talking about those players. This is not Mike Schmidt with 500 home runs. The best players in this town right now are not above criticism, and I don't understand why we are afraid to say what's the truth about them. Are we going to hurt their feelings? Are they going to leave? Are they going to cry about it? I don't get it. And I want to know where you're coming from on this, because sometimes I feel like I'm in bizarro world. Like I'm sitting here saying, well, if these guys aren't good enough, you move them for guys that are better. That's the nature of sports. It's the nature of competition. I can't trade the franchise. I can't swap one team for another team, so I can swap players. The bottom line is, these guys are, and when I say these guys, the four that I think have been babied the most over the last couple of years are Carson Wentz, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Rhys Hoskins. Now, Bryce Harper just got here, and he had a good year. I didn't think Bryce was great this year. I think he will have better years of Philly, and I was pushing the button and screaming every night last year for 3 months to go sign Bryce Harper. So I'm very happy he's here, and I expect him to be a pillar for the Phillies for years to come. But even last summer, I don't think he was above criticism. He needed to play better. And then he got hot, and the team started to win, and they had a chance, and we know what happened. But the ones that it seems like, there's just like, you can't, it's like you're walking on ice. You're walking on thin ice when you say anything about Rhys Hoskins. Oh, no. He's Rhys Hoskins. What is he? What is Rhys Hoskins? He's a good player. He's an awful fielder. Belongs in the American League as a DH, and he's got power. He's not special. What is Ben Simmons? He's an all. I hear he's a 23-year-old all-star. There's been a lot of 23-year-old all-stars that get moved. This isn't like, oh my goodness, great. This is Michael Jordan 2.0. No, it's not. He's not LeBron James. He's not a transcendent player that will never happen again. He's a unique player, but he's not a transcendent player that you say, this guy is the next thing in the NBA. No. No, he's not. He's not shown that at all. He's a good player. Joel Embiid is a great player, but he has to grow up. And that, if you don't think that, then you're not paying attention to the guys that actually win titles in the NBA. When it comes to Carson Wentz, is he the problem with the Eagles? Is he the reason they're 5-4? No. Carson Wentz has played well this year. But Carson Wentz can and needs to play better for the Eagles to get where they want to go. And if you think the level of play he's given this year is enough, well, then I don't know what you're looking at compared to other quarterbacks. Because in a salary cap league, when you have a quarterback that is playing closer to middle of the road than you are elite and you're paying that guy elite money, you're going to have a problem and you're not going to achieve your ceiling. 888-729-9494. I believe we're too protective and too sensitive about this city's young players. And I don't know why. I don't know what these guys have done to garner the shield that goes up. It's like I can feel the bat signal that goes off in Philadelphia whenever there's a conversation about one of these players. Like, uh-oh, assemble. We need, what's I call it, the LTBB community or the Ben Simmons supporters. I don't know if they have a group name. But there's something that happens every time we talk about these guys as if, like, Tucker, have I missed, maybe I blacked out for a year. Did I miss the parades down Broad Street that Ben Simmons led? Did I miss Rhys Hoskins in a World Series? Did I miss Carson Wentz beating Brady in the Super Bowl? Did I miss any of those things?
You did not.
Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't miss something. Because once players have that, then it's like, I get it. You know, that they have a shield. They have collateral. But when you don't have that yet, and you just have potential, and you just have talent, I don't give you that collateral. It's funny that the people we pick and choose to rip in this town, I find it amazing. Like, just for example, and I'm not saying these two players are on the level of the four players I mentioned, but just for an example, Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey, not a minute goes by in this radio station, not a minute or an hour, where someone is a call in and say, these receivers stink. Nelson stinks. Get Alshon out of here. Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey are Super Bowl heroes. They played big moments in the only Eagles Super Bowl ever. And those guys we've turned on. And obviously their play is a big reason for that. But we've turned on those guys for their play and maybe for some stuff that is hurting the team in other areas. And I get it. But we've turned on them. But then there's these four guys, specifically the Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz, that it's as if they've accomplished 12 years of greatness, and it's like you just kind of lay off those guys. Brian Dawkins, I got it. Mike Schmidt, I got it. You know, those guys were all-timers. Reggie White, you get it. These guys aren't all-timers in this city right now. They're young. They are flawed. They have potential, but they haven't done anything yet. And if it's about making the best team, that's all I care about. I don't care about the name on the back of the jersey. I care about the one on the front. 888-729-9494. Do you think we protect these young players too much? It's like we're just allergic to saying the truth about them. I don't get it. Colleen is up on WIP. Hey, Colleen.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Wanted to talk about what we think of these players and also just the Philadelphia franchise in general. I think you made a really good point in saying that, you know, we do protect these players, and I agree that, you know, they aren't what we expected them to live up to, but who were the Phillies before, like when they had Shane Victorino and Ryan Howard? And who was that Super Bowl team,
World Series team,
thank you, before they won the World Series? So I think that's one of the reasons we have to kind of respect these players and, you know, give them a little bit of credit for what they are doing. I think what you said about Agholor is true. People are giving him a lot of shit right now, and he was a Super Bowl champion.
He was, Colleen, and I appreciate it. Listen, I love the passion. I do. He was. And as far as I think the point she was making on the Phillies was they weren't champions till they were, so you don't rip someone till they do something because they might end up winning a title. I think that was the point there. Maybe. And maybe Ben Simmons wins a title and shuts everyone up, including me. But I'd be happy if he did that. I don't expect him to be able to do that unless he changes his game. That's the point I tried to make last night. That's the point that everyone sees it. It's not like I'm watching a different game. We're all watching the same game. Ben Simmons doesn't play a championship level of point guard. And Joel Embiid doesn't have the maturity of a championship big man. And Carson Wentz doesn't have the polished game of a Super Bowl quarterback yet. These are all true things. And yet we say them, and it's like we're criticizing like, oh, that's blasphemy. These are the greatest athletes that we've ever seen. No, they're good players. They're good players. And if they graduate to becoming truly, truly great players and champions, then they will get that adoration and love forever from, I think, all of us. They're not there yet. And I don't get why they're protected so much. Josh is in Maniac. What's up, Josh?
Great comments, as always, Joe. I really appreciate it. First of all, you're absolutely right. I said this last year. I said at the beginning of last year, I said I would have traded Ben Simmons for Kimball Walker and Devin Booker. And it's so evident that it's today. I mean, he still refuses to take a shot. You know, I mean, he could, in my opinion, with all due respect, I'm not a doctor, but he's not shooting it anyway, so why can't he play? You know, I mean, so what's the difference with his shoulder? It's not like he's going strong to the basket. All he's doing is facilitating the ball. You know, I think he's soft. I think he's pampered. I think, you know, the famous comment, I'm an all-star, bro, really sets in my call. You know, enough's enough. You know, and I agree with you. Joel is as immature on social media as possible. Wentz is, you know, he's not a polished quarterback. He says all the right things. Yeah, you know what? Reese has his flaws. I think there was a lot of things going on this year with regard to, especially the later half of the season, with Gabe and the analytics and everything else. It was just so much going on. It's just I hope that of all four, I hope Reese really turns it around because, you know, I think he could be a cornerstone player here. The rest of them, yeah, they're all hyped up to be, but there's too much nonsense off of it, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny, just I feel like in the past, you know, generations before us, people wouldn't have patience with young players, even if they have talent. You know, they would have been very critical even early in their career. I mean, I go back to Donovan. People didn't have this kind of patience with Donovan. When Donovan started not getting to Super Bowls, especially 2002 and beyond, he was ripped, and Donovan was drafted in 99. It wasn't like he was around 10 years by the time 02, you know, got here. And yet these guys were teetering on the same stage of their career as Donovan started to be in 02, and And, like, it's not the same. I don't get it.
It's a different era. We can't criticize him. Everything's got to be handheld. I mean, Earl Watson made a comment today on social media about this load management with the NBA. He's like, it's not load management. These guys will run down because AAU programs, and we pamper everybody and all this stuff. And I absolutely agree with you. It's amazing. We coddle these guys so much. It blows me away with how they, especially the NBA. I mean, with the load management nonsense. That's a joke, you know?
Yeah, and that one, Josh, I appreciate it. That's not going away. You know, once you start that, it's like in baseball when they started limiting pitchers' innings and pitch count. Like, once you go down that road, you know, if you're a superstar like Kawhi Leonard and you only play 67 games, 65 games, you're not going to one day play 75 or 80. It only goes less or, you know, plateaus at a certain point. Mad Mike is up on WIP. Hey, Mad Mike.
I love what you're saying. I love how brave you are to say this because no one wants to say it. And it's like, honestly, it's the elephant in the room right now. We have a quarterback who we've elevated to elite status when he's just a good quarterback, and that's all he is. And that's okay, but he's just good. We have a petulant child playing point guard who should be a forward. He's playing out of position, and he doesn't know how to shoot the ball. And I don't care what anybody says, but we always say he does other things really well. Well, you know what the most important part of playing basketball? Putting the ball in the basket. And I'm sick and tired of giving out contracts to players that don't understand that. And Embiid, he's good as, like, he's, I can't stand this guy the most because he's a 7'2" child that we just let get away with murder that we would, and he just does whatever he wants and no one wants to rein him in. I'm so tired of these players. This is why I really don't like the Sixers that much, because they're just spoiled children. And for Carson, I want him to be great, but if he's just a good quarterback, we have to be okay with that. And we can't elevate these players to godlike status. We need to call out what's wrong with them. And being a fan and calling out your players means you're a good fan. And that's what I think. Like, that's what I think of myself. I'm calling out their flaws, and that's what makes me a good fan, because I care about the team more than I care about the players.
And the crazy part is, Mike, and I always appreciate your call, is that was always the tenet of the city. Like, that's what made Philadelphia unique, and maybe like a couple other cities, but I think unique too on it itself, is that you heard it when you were – the best players heard it when they weren't great. And now we don't want to do that anymore. It's like, I can't tell you how many times – over the past day, someone told me that Doug Peterson is the problem with the Eagles offense. Have we forgotten what that coach did? Like, the same people that will tell me Nick Foles isn't that good, watch this coach tear up the best defensive coach in the history of the sport in the Super Bowl with a quarterback that wasn't even any good. It doesn't even make any sense what I hear. Doug's not the problem. Like, we're so quick to rip coaches. Well, I heard today Brett Brown has to make Ben Simmons shoot. I've heard that Doug Peterson's a moron. It was Gabe Kapler's fault that Rhys Hoskins couldn't hit in the second half. Well, maybe the players aren't that good. And it doesn't mean they're bad. But maybe it means we have to recalculate how we talk about them, what we say about them, and what we expect out of them. I just want to know your perspective on this. 888-729-9494. There is a lot of good young talent in the city, and there's enough that we should be excited moving forward. But the idea that these guys have done enough in their careers, whether it be Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, Carson Wentz, Rhys Hoskins, you want to throw a couple more in, throw them in, that any of these guys have done enough in their careers that they're above criticism is nonsense. And I believe right now we are too protective and too sensitive at these cities' young stars. Guess what? If they can't handle it from you or me or social media, they weren't cut out for this anyway. So stop worrying about them. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you get in. We'll come back. A guy that's not so young, but he is very good. Got an award tonight in Major League Baseball. I'll tell you who from the Phillies got a postseason award. That's coming up. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 727 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. We have Sue Schilling on the update. You guys with us. 888-729-9494. #9494. That is how you hop in. We'll continue our conversation in just a few minutes about the best young players in this town and why it feels like they're above criticism and why, look, it feels like we will not tell the truth about them or say the truth because we want to protect them or for whatever reason that I don't get, they're above criticism. I don't think they should be, and I think we just collectively sound silly when we protect them over and over. All right, we'll get back to that. We have to hit, though. It's Thursday night, and we do it every Thursday night. It is Tucker versus the Dancer, one of our friends from Cheerleaders. It is Lotus tonight. Philadelphia's premier gentlemen's club joins us to go head-to-head in NFL picks with Tucker. Lotus, welcome aboard. And I can't believe it, Lotus. It's week 10 already.
That's crazy. It's flying by.
It is. It is flying by. It's been a fun season. And I have the updated standings here. Now, I'm not sure if Tucker is you know, fudging these so he looks better, but it says here in front of me, Tucker is 9-9, and collectively, you guys over at Cheerleaders, you're 8-10 this season. So you're a game behind Tucker, basically halfway through. What are you feeling? You feeling like a big run in the second half? Tucker's a paper tiger. What do you think?
Fudging it.
It feels like you're gonna go pull ahead here. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I think he's fudging it because I went 3-3 last week.
Tucker,
I'm not gonna have my integrity compromised.
Well, you just did. Lotus just basically told everyone in the listed audience that you're a liar, which, Lotus, I'm with you. Tucker's lying. I'm going to say you're ahead by one, all right?
Cool.
Let's do it that way. All right, here we go. Week 10, three games. You each make picks. Let's start with tonight, Lotus. You'll go first. Chargers are at the Raiders tonight. The Chargers are 1.5-point favorites on the road tonight in Oakland against the Raiders. So Chargers minus 1.5. Who do you got?
Chargers have been hurting this season, and Oakland's ready to make that final playoff push. I'm going to go with Oakland.
John Gruden's team, yeah, I like that team. They're better than people thought. All right, so you go with Oakland in the first game. Second game here, Lotus, is Buffalo at Cleveland. And Cleveland, despite having the worst record in this game of the two teams, they are favorites. Cleveland minus 3, Buffalo on the road with a 6-2 record. Who do you like here?
Kareem's back. I'm going to take Cleveland.
See, now there's a shocker, because it's a weird line, but you got a feeling. All right, you go with Cleveland. So you go with the two home teams to start us off. And then the final game, one that we'll be paying attention to here, Lotus, on Sunday night. It is the Minnesota Vikings at the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be rooting for Minnesota. It's Dallas as the favorite minus 3. Who do you like here?
Definitely don't like Dallas, but I'm still going to go with Minnesota.
So you got Minnesota on the road as road dogs. All right.
Absolutely.
So Raiders, Browns, and Vikings for Lotus. Tucker, you're up. Tonight, Chargers, Raiders.
I'll take the Chargers. They've won 2 in a row. They beat up the Packers pretty bad last week. I think they're keying in for a second half run.
All right, they're on a little run there. How about Buffalo at Cleveland, Tucker?
I don't know why Cleveland's favorite. Like, they may be the second or third worst team in the league. I have to take Buffalo.
It feels like it's just a misprint, like when you see the line and they're favored at home. Yes, so you go Buffalo. So you're opposite of Lotus for the first two. You have the Chargers and the Bills, and Lotus has the Raiders and the Browns. And the last game, Sunday Night Football, Vikings-Cowboys, sucker.
I'll take the Cowboys.
So you guys are on the opposite side of each game.
Yes.
It feels like it's going to be a big week for you here, Lotus. I feel like Tucker's in trouble and you're going to win all three games. What do you think?
It's definitely going to be an interesting week. We'll see how it goes.
It will. All right, we'll do this again next week. Lotus, I appreciate you hopping on from Lotus from Cheerleaders, of course, Philadelphia's premier gentlemen's club. Tucker versus the Dancer. Lotus, you have a great night.
You too.
There she goes. Tucker, that's a gamble. I mean, going against her for all three games?
It's a swing week.
It is a swing week. I will say this. The Cleveland Browns thing, the fact they're favored, and they were favored last week. The Browns, in a sense, remember the 2011 Eagles? They're not as bad as the Dream Team Eagles. But that team was favored. Well, they're worse than the Dream Team Eagles, actually.
Yeah, that team finished 8-8.
But they were 4-8, and then they won their last 4.
Right.
But that Eagles team, they were favored throughout all of September by like 9-10 points a game. They were favored into October. And there was one point during the year where I was like, this is, like, for people who want to make money, that Eagles team was the easiest money to make money. Like, they never covered.
Yeah, this Browns team, like, I remember in the preseason, their Super Bowl odds were so low.
Yep.
Because everyone was hitting them so hard, they had to change it. That's what these lines feel like. Like, everyone's expecting them to play well. It's almost like they haven't updated these lines since preseason. They just keep getting favored.
Last week, they were 4.5-point favorites on the road. I thought they'd win, too. I picked them my picks because the Broncos are terrible, and they got beat up. I'm done with them. Done with the Browns. I think you made a good pick there. All right. Let's get back to the phone lines here. 888-729-9494. I feel like we are way overprotective of the young stars in this town, and I don't understand why. Hassan is at Strawberry Mansion. Hey, Hassan.
What's up, Joe? How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. We don't have Eskin in there to not let me get a word in, so.
Yeah, he's too busy, and he's in Atlantic City tonight, so we got rid of him.
All right. Now, I agree with you that we're a little overprotective of the young stars. but I think you're a little overprotective of the coaches, personally.
Yeah, you know what? That's I like all the coaches here. I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of Doug. I like Brett, and I was a big fan of Gabe, and now I think Girardi's going to be a good one. So, yeah, I mean, you pegged me right. I think these coaches are good.
I like them, too. They're good people. I wouldn't mind having either of those guys in the organization. Doug, I really don't really question Doug too much, although I could one could argue how much coaching is Doug really doing. His most famous game that you want to give him is on TV that Nick Foles called that play, and we don't know how much of that game was really Frank Wright and not Doug out-dueling Bill.
Well, we don't, but the Eagles did put up, you know, they put up over 40 points against Bill Belichick. It wasn't just the Philly special play. They had a lot of good plays in that game.
No, I didn't say it was just the Philly special. I'm just saying we don't know how much of that was Frank and how much is Doug.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, you're right. I mean, we'll never know. That's kind of like that unanswerable question.
Unanswerable question. But it kind of could get answered next Sunday. It's not the same team, same circumstances, but we'll see if the coaches how the coaches duel is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I'm excited for that one because look, the last time we saw it was a shootout. I have a feeling, Hassan, this time it's going to be way lower scoring, probably in the low 20s. But it's good. The coaching battles are going to be a great one, Doug and Bill Belichick.
And what I can say, I have less question about Doug than I do about the other two. Brett, I don't like his. I question his end game, really. Because
yeah.
Doug, really, I don't really question that with Doug. Doug seems when he's in a position where it needs to come up to where I need my coach to make the decision here, to make an adjustment, to go for it on that fourth down because I know my defense ain't stopped nobody all game, stuff like that. Like, I trust Doug in those situations. I don't really trust Brett Brown strategically.
Yeah, you're not the only one. And Hassan, I'll say this about Brett. I like him, and I appreciate your phone call. I like Brett Brown. I think he's a good coach. I do not think he is an unbelievable X's and O's NBA, you know, coach. There's a few. You know, a guy like Rick Carlisle has always been good at that. And there's the great ones, obviously, Popovich. But Brett Stevens is very good. I think Brett's a good coach. But it did bother me again last night. There's been something about the Sixers for the last couple years. And I'm going to exclude the first 5 years of his tenure because it didn't matter. And you can't judge him on the guys he had on the court. But there's been something about the last couple years with the Sixers that they're consistently just erratic late in games. Like last night, it was missed free throws. It was turnovers. It was not being able to foul at the end. And in a vacuum, once in a while, that kind of stuff happens. You have a bad last couple minutes. The other team makes more plays. But when it happens over and over, almost regardless of who actually is on the court, whether it's this rendition of the Sixers or that rendition of the Sixers or the third rendition of last year's Sixers, they always seem to be erratic in the games. Part of that is the reality of trying to coach a point guard that can't shoot. It does hurt. And last night, they didn't have that point guard, though. You know, Ben Simmons wasn't playing, unfortunately, because he hurt his shoulder. Ron is in Monco. What's up, Ron?
Joe, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good, Ron. What's going on?
I don't know, Joe. You know, I sit here and I listen to you, and I'm like, you know, he's on to something tonight. He's on to something. And then you just, Doug Peterson's a great coach. And I can't hear it.
My guy, Doug.
Oh, my God, man. Listen, I'm going to make a prediction, and it's going to be attached to another wager between you and I.
Oh, boy. Wow, you're already becoming a co-host. What's next here, Ron?
Here we go. All right. The Sixers with Embiid, Simmons and Brown will never win a championship. It's never going to happen. Okay, now here's the bet. If I'm right, I get to go with you and the fam on the family vacation. Remember the movie Bob?
Yeah.
With Dreyfuss?
Yeah, yeah.
And Larry?
Yes, I remember the movie, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be Bob. Okay? And I get to sit shotgun. So that means all the fams in the back.
Well, listen, before you go on, let me tell you. So 99% of the time, my wife doesn't care about what I do here, what I say, or the nonsense. I feel like she might put her foot down when we're loading up the van for vacation. And here comes Ron from Monco.
Yeah, well, I am the most interesting guy on the radio.
Well.
So listen, Joe, listen, here's a couple issues you got. Number one, I'm with you on Simmons. In fact, I would have traded him 2 years ago. It's too late. The horse is out of the barn with him. Okay, they just gave him almost $200 million contract. You're never going to get anybody to take that dude for that kind of money, and you're not going to get the right picks for it. It's too late, okay, with that. Hoskins will never be a major league player like everybody thinks he will, okay? I'm sorry to tell you that, but he's not. And he's one of the first ones. I don't know how they can get anything for him. I mean, he's a clod. He's got two left feet over at first base. And the guy can't hit his way out of a paper bag. He's in serious shape. He's a reclamation job at this point. You know, I feel bad for him, but I don't think he ever was a solid major league player to begin with, to be honest with you. The other thing is that you keep saying, you know, how great Peterson is, and we're watching it evolve. Reich, look what he's doing with the Colts. Look what he's doing with a backup quarterback. We can't get out of the gate with Peterson. Now, it's going to come to light, and we mean you got to bet on that. And you're going to stand up. You're going to stand. But now you got to include this, though. If this guy, Peterson, decides to hang him up, that's got to count. Because he won't be able to take the heat in the kitchen.
You think Doug Peterson is going to resign?
No, I'm adding that that he's out of here in the next.
You know what we got to do? We got to get this written down. A contract, Ron. I appreciate it. A contract between Ron and I. And if you missed it, and Ron references this basically once a night, that if Doug is relieved of his duties as Eagles coach, I think we said it 2 years from now. Like, if he doesn't make it two more seasons, was that it, Tucker?
Yeah, I think after next year.
Yeah, okay. So if he's gone after next year, that Ron gets to come in and co-host the whole show. It'll be the Doug Peterson Stink Show. I will be tempted to take off the night, but I have to be here because I don't think I'm allowed to just let Ron run the show by himself. I mean, maybe. What's the worst that happens, I guess?
I mean, compared to some of the other shows we have, it can be terrible.
You know what? Maybe I'll take off that night. But anyway, that's our bet. Look, Doug's fine. The young players in this town, those are the guys that don't get any criticism, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it. This group here, there's some good players, and they could become great, and they could lead these teams to titles and appearances in the World Series and NBA Finals and Super Bowl. They haven't done that yet, any of them. It is a raw group. Talent is there without a doubt. But there's something that just boggles my mind about the idea that they're Teflon, that we cannot say the truth about whether it be Carson Wentz, or it be Ben Simmons, or it be Joel Embiid, or Rhys Hoskins, because they're here, because they're young, because they're ours. Listen, I root for the name on the front of the jersey. The back, they're interchangeable. And I hope these guys are here for a long time. I hope they win for a long time. But they haven't proven anything yet. 888-729-9494. That's a hot board. #9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. And I'll give you my thoughts on some of what Matt Klentak had to say today. I liked what he said about Joe Girardi. I didn't love what he said about the bullpen. And we'll play for you. Great question by the Midday Show today about Matt Klentak wondering about his job security as this season ended. He should have. We'll hear what he had to say coming up on the other side. 888-729-9494.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.